Welcome. You've turned into Rockstar Millennial Spotlight, featuring Catherine Spitznagel, professional coach, speaker, and author of the book, Rockstar Millennials, Developing the Next Generation of Leaders. On this show, we'll feature millennials who represent this high-energy, creative, and entrepreneurial generation and spotlight Rockstar Millennials who are living their purpose, helping others, and making a difference right where they are. Please join me in welcoming our host, Catherine Spitznagel.
Hi, this is Catherine Spitznagel, your host for Rockstar Millennial Podcast. And today I have a special guest, someone I've been waiting for you to meet, just a talented, wonderful woman that I'm honored to know, Miss Kelly Cole. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I don't know how I narrow it all down, what I do.
I know.
I am Kelly Cole. I'm a middle-aged woman in Peoria, Illinois, and I'm a wife and a mother and a nurse practitioner is my main identity. And I've been working in gynecology for 25 years now.
And so tell us how you got there, because you did a lot of other things before this.
Yeah. So I started as a labor and delivery nurse at OSF in Peoria after graduating a college with a bachelor's degree. And then as I did that job, I realized pretty quickly that to stay at the bedside as a nurse would be physically and emotionally demanding. And I knew I wanted to do other things anyway. And there was an opportunity here in Peoria that there was a program to be a nurse practitioner in women's health here at University of Illinois in Peoria. And so I could do that program here and still work full time, which wasn't ideal, but it's what I had to do at the time. Yeah. And then I knew I could get away from bedside nursing, which, for the long term, for your health and your, you know, it's a hard gig.
Hard. It is. It's physically, emotionally, especially in labor and delivery.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really a hard work. Yeah.
Greatest job, an amazing job. And I had so many opportunities to learn there about pregnancy and about medicine in general and how to take care of patients and how to interact with people. Because, you know, when you graduate, you're a young 22-year-old person who doesn't really know much about the world even. And then I've been in obstetrics and gynecology private practice since 2004. And I've worked at various practices here in the Peoria area, all private practice. I've never worked for a big hospital system aside from as a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I've moved around from different practices just based on what my personal needs were or my personal happiness or whatever the case may be. And then eventually I ended up at a big giant private practice here in Peoria, and it was wonderful. It was a great job and I loved it so much. And they were going to sell to corporate medicine with a big system, was going to purchase that practice. And that's not a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing at all that these corporations take over smaller practices, but I don't want to work in that setting because it just isn't right for me. So a friend, a colleague of mine and I decided we would make bad decisions or good decisions, maybe. A scary decision nonetheless, and start our own practice. Very scary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've been in our own practice since January of 2024, just rounding the corner on our second year in practice and going to enter our third in just gynecology, a lot of menopause medicine, a lot of birth control in teenagers and regular checkups and pap tests and breast concerns, infection stuff. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of hormone stuff now. And that's probably just as my population ages with me, then I'm seeing them through the menopause changes.
Yeah. And I know because we know each other through NABO, Women Business Owners, I also know some of your patients who just rave about you and your partner and the changes you have made. I was also honored to host a panel discussion for a Pathways Conference, and you were one of the panelists. And one of the interesting things that you said on that panel was that, you know, love doctors. There's a place for them. You work well with them. There's also a place for nurse practitioners, particularly in women's health issues. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, we need more doctors in general, and we're not ever trying to take the space, take the place of physicians. Mm-hmm. Physicians do a whole different job than I do. There's an overlap there, of course, but truly, in our type of medicine, my doctors are taking people to the operating room.
Yes.
Doing important surgeries. They're doing things I can't do. Mm-hmm. I'm not trained to do. They have the complicated cases sometimes that are just above my pay grade. Mm-hmm. They're delivering babies, which midwives can do, but they don't do C-sections or high-risk deliveries. And they're the doctors at OSF, any of these hospital systems, really, but right now I have most contact with some of the OSF docs. They get complicated cases. They have some just wild things that they're responsible to take care of. And that's not my space. Right. So nurse practitioners, we catch problems and we coordinate care with really good doctors because we know who's doing a really great job. Mm-hmm. But I also just help you stay healthy. That's my focus, is to help you stay well, help you have the best today possible, mm-hmm. the best tomorrow possible, and avoid health pitfalls and pick them up if I see them so mm-hmm. I can get you to somebody else if I need to. Mm-hmm.
I think you also look at one of the things that comes out loud and clear when you speak about your profession is that you look at the whole person. And I think you spend time with them. And that's what your patients tell me too, is that, you know, you sit down with Kelly, she wants to know you and all about you. And let's get to the root cause of some of these things that are happening to you. And one of your mantras is, you know, you don't have to live this way. There's so many things, we can fix. And you do fix.
Yeah. If I can make even a small problem better. So we see a lot of people with just minor things that they don't think are as big of a deal until they're better. Until anybody in, you know, can make that. So we'll see things like bladder incontinence. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, who doesn't have a little incontinence here and there? Who doesn't have a little, you know, sure, I have to run to the bathroom, like, oh, big deal, you know. But if I can turn that off and I can make that better, it's just one small thing, whether it's with medicine or a referral to a surgical person or physical therapy or different techniques and stuff, it's a big deal. And then you think, oh, wow, I didn't have to stop 3 times when I was going shopping to use the bathroom. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not necessarily something that's going to kill you, but if I can make the quality of this day better for you, I want to do it.
Yeah, and you do. And you're on a mission to do that.
We're on a mission. We're on a mission mostly now to empower people with knowledge. Uh-huh. So I want my people to know the opportunities of things that are available to them, whether it be a hormone or birth control product or testing that I can do to, you know, make sure that you're staying healthy or mm-hmm. pick up a problem or something. I want you to know this is what's available to you. And then you get to pick what you do with that information, because you'll make a good choice as long as you know what the choices are.
Right. And I think that's what you find. A lot of times the women don't know.
No.
So you are a wife and a mom, and you own this practice. You are committed to your patients. How do you blend all that?
Well, you don't.
And there we have it.
Right?
Yes.
You wake up in the morning and say, where am I supposed to be? And what am I supposed to be doing? And I hope I make it. I hope I figure it out. So, you try to be there for everybody that you can be there for that mm-hmm. needs you. But I fail, you know, I fail as a mother. We all do. As soon as we have a child and it's placed in our arms, we're messing them up from second one. We just hope we don't do it too much. That's just the reality of parenthood. Yep. I fail as a wife. I'm sure I'm not there for my husband the way he needs me to be sometimes. And he's also not there for me the way I need him. So that's just relationships. Yeah. And my patients, these are people that I love and care about and I lose sleep over. Mm-hmm. And I always have, especially now that it's our own practice. I mean, you just try to do the best that you can do in any given moment, and then, you know, accept the failure as well.
Yeah,
accept
go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to be perfect all the time.
Yeah. Well, what do you do to take care of you?
I watch a lot of ridiculous TV.
Okay.
I mean, it's not becoming. None of the. It's very unbecoming. Spend time with my family. I like, you know, going to shows, and I don't exercise as much as I should. But you know, when I have the moment to just put my headphones in and do something like that, I like to take that opportunity. But we always have the goals of like, I'd like to read more books and take more time to do this. And this month, I'm trying to be more intentional about who I spend time with. So it's holiday season, and I want to make sure that the people that are really important to me get a moment, and I have a moment of them.
And you have
too.
A moment of that. Yeah.
So I've tried to, I mean, I hate to be a scheduling person and have things like penciled in the schedule, but I've actually scheduled some time with some of the people that I think are most important. And I've said that to them, that I really want a piece of your time.
Yes. And one of the things, another thing that you talked about on the panel that I remember, was having logistics dates with your husband. You know,
so romantic.
So romantic. You know, with all good intention, you set aside this time to go have time together, and you get a babysitter, and maybe even get dressed up and all the things, and then it turns out to be a logistics discussion. Yeah.
It's a business meeting.
It's a business meeting. And then you go, good. Yeah. Good date. Good.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not as good about it anymore, but I still do have lists on my, I have hundreds and hundreds of lists on my phone of stupid things, 'cause I think they're funny and I want to write them down. I mean, like gross words and funny things and phrases that are noncommittal. Like, I mean, it's so stupid, but I also have a list for my husband that we share that is like a checkbox of like things we need from the grocery store, ideas we have for suppers, and things we need to talk about. And I mean, I'll pull out the list and say, hey, on the list, we need to figure out summer vacation, or we need to figure out, did you get this fixed or call a plumber for what, you know, it's extremely romantic, definite turn on for both of us, I'm sure. But it's a life for living.
It is a life for living. So there's a lot of purpose in what you do with these women. Talk to us about how you're living your purpose and where you've seen you made a difference.
I don't know that we've got enough time. And, you know, you hate to be a person that like toots your own horn, but anytime somebody comes back and says, you know, my appointment, because gynecology, you may not have ever experienced this. People don't really want to come into the gynecology office. They really don't. I know. It's so weird, but people don't love spending time having pelvic exams. Or having these types of female problems, of course.
Yeah.
And so when people come back and they say, you know, you made that visit not as unpleasant as I thought it would be, or I don't dread coming to see you. Mm-hmm. That's so silly, but it really means a lot to us. Or of course, you know, we've got the stories of we found somebody's cancer, or, you know, we found a problem with a pregnancy and then the outcome was better because we discovered that. Yeah. But any medicine that you do, so the privilege of working in medicine is that you see those things up close and personal, and you can see them fairly quickly where you know you've made a difference for that person, and you get to go home feeling that gratification. And it's unbeatable. It's an unbeatable career.
Yeah. And you're very approachable and you're funny. And so I think people feel comfortable coming to you and just going, okay, here's the deal. And you make that okay.
I think most people do feel comfortable, which is good. And some people feel a little more comfortable than others. Mm-hmm. And they share things that maybe I don't need to know. Especially in the GYN world, you know, there are certain details that we don't need to share. But
don't need that.
Yeah. But no, what a privilege that people will come in and share some things that are just either so troubling or they won't share with other people. Maybe we can make a difference with those things. And if we can, wow. I mean, what a gift.
What a gift. Yeah. So what's next for you, Kelly?
Well, we're coming in on year 3 for the business. So I'd like to see that continue to grow and grow.
Yeah.
We don't want to have this big giant, you know, situation, you know, this big fancy dancy thing, but we want to have the opportunity to help as many women as we possibly can mm-hmm. and have our corner where we know we're doing the best we can do every single day that we're here. So we want to continue to grow the business. My kids are going to grow up, you know, eventually maybe I don't retire because I don't ever plan to retire. I would like to be able to do this job forever, which is part of the reason we started the business. Mm-hmm. But maybe travel a little bit more and have a little bit more time off when I'm available, when I'm able to.
You're able to work a little less. Still
maybe.
Work.
Yeah.
A little less. Okay.
Maybe.
So what encouragement do you have for others?
I think I said this on the panel, and it's really one of my mantras that I repeat to myself over and over is you can do hard things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm just feeling that pressure of being overwhelmed, or there's certain, like, this is dumb, but I need a new computer because mine is kind of, I mean, I know she's old. Yeah. I'm not saying it out loud because I don't want her to hear me, but this computer is, yeah, she's seen a little bit more life than she probably needs to. And transferring my files over, I'm just thinking like, how am I going to do that? And then I think, now, wait a minute. No, you can do hard things. You've mm-hmm. done, or you have people that you can ask.
Or you have people. Yeah.
Yeah. So stop the anxiety spin. It's hard to do sometimes. Sometimes it's impossible to do. And that's where we come in and help people if they really have unmanageable anxiety. But you can do hard things. Mm-hmm. Take a breath. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good on you. Well, thank you. Thank you for what you do every day for the women that we know and the community where you work, because you do make a difference. So thank you for that.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Appreciate you joining me today.
Of course. Thanks
to our listeners. Don't miss a podcast. You can find us on rockstarmillennials.com, Apple Podcast, iTunes, and Spotify. And until next time, talk soon.
To share your thoughts about this episode, subscribe to future podcasts. Submit a discussion topic or shine a light on a rockstar millennial in your world. Contact Catherine Spitznagle at rockstarmillennials.com and click on Contact Us.